In the last of these, this series, I guess if I had a scriptural theme, it would be the amazing providence of God and the way that He connects us through these tissues across generations, distances, and so forth. And I couldn't help but think about all the intersections in the lives of people in this church and Dale and Libby. For instance, Libby Peterson's mother was on the staff of Auburn First Baptist Church in the early 1940s. And Dr. Potts, who became a chief executive officer of the Alabama Baptist State Convention, married her from our staff. I know Dr. Potts awfully well, and I know he had a special affection for Auburn First Baptist Church and a special affection for Dale. And then there are going to be all sorts of examples of these kind of intersections over the next 10 or 15 minutes. And what I want you to do is be primed, because I'm going to prime the pump. And when I get through priming the pump, I want you to come up here and tell your Dale Peterson stories. We all know Dale well enough and have known him long enough so that any outrageous story you tell will be totally believable. So just come on up. As an historian, if I had to give a title to this chapter in the church's history, I would actually call it Jeffers, Jeffers, and Peterson, like a law firm. And I think if John were perched on my shoulder telling me what to say tonight, what John would say is, it just wasn't me. It was Jeanette and Dale. And if you think about the symmetry of this story from the 1970s to the present, the story is dominated by John Jeffers, Jeanette Jeffers, and Dale Peterson. Furthermore, if you think about the incredible long time staff position, we've been around for 175 years, and Dale Peterson is the longest serving staff member in the history of this church. And that is really unusual, because as you move closer and closer to the present, Baptist controversies tend to truncate terms of office. In fact, one of the persons I interviewed for this program told me that the average tenure of a minister of music at a Southern Baptist church now, or a Baptist church in the South, is 18 months. And the average tenure of a pastor is less than 3 years. And part of that is because Baptist churches have become very largely ungovernable because of the fighting and the conflict. So here is the story of Jeffers, Jeffers, and Peterson. Dale was born, as most of you know, in Louisville, Kentucky, quite a few years ago. And he grew up in 18th Street Baptist Church. His parents were working class people. 18th Street Baptist Church was a working class church. And if we were to give a name to it, like the names of many of the theological churches from which all of us came, it would be considered fundamentalist, loving, friendly, warm-hearted, and evangelical. And that's the kind of church he grew up in. He went to Kentucky Southern Baptist College, which is probably the best college in America you never heard of. It was one of those startup colleges in the 1960s, like New College or Eckerd College, and there were just a plethora of them all over America. And they flourished for a few years, and then some of them survived and some of them didn't, and Kentucky Southern didn't. But it was a Baptist college founded by a group of Louisville area pastors and business people. And but for my turning down a job on the Kentucky Southern faculty twice, once in 1964 and again in 1966, I would have perhaps taught Dale Peterson, because I would have been on the faculty when he began in 1965. That his freshman year would have been my freshman year on the faculty if I had taken the job that I was offered. I might have had Dale in class, but then I think Dale's great concern for history equals my great concern for music, so perhaps not. I might not have had him in class. At any rate, he graduated in 1969, and he went to a polar opposite school. Kentucky Southern, the one you never heard of. If you know music, Cincinnati Conservatory is one of the very best musical schools around, and especially in the Midwest. They tend to be bunched on the East Coast, the sort of Ivy League music schools, but Cincinnati Conservatory is really, really famous. He was there from 1969 till 1973, and his strong area was music theory. Now, for those of you who want to anticipate this story just a little bit, musical theory is to a composer what imagination is to a writer. If you don't have it, you can't do it. And so think of Dale as somebody who found his niche, and his niche was music theory. He received his master's degree from Kentucky Southern, and then he finished all the coursework for the PhD, but something happened. And let me tell you what happened. Going back in time to 18th Street Baptist Church, when he was a little kid, there was an older boy, about 7 or 8 years older than Dale, whose parents became friends of Dale's parents, the Petersons, in training union, where a lot of friendships were made in my childhood. And this family friendship of this older guy to whom this little kid looked up is the key to the story that I'm going to tell you, because Bill Hornbuckle graduates high school, and he goes to a little college in Birmingham, Alabama, to enter his freshman class with my wife, Dorothy. Dorothy was a freshman when Bill was a freshman. They graduated together, and we married and went off to seminary, where she actually went to California as a missionary and then taught school, but then we married and went to Florida State grad school, and Bill went back to seminary at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, because you see, at that time, Louisville was considered the Baptist capital of the South, with the big seminary and all sorts of colleges and churches and so forth. So Bill goes back to seminary, but he moonlights as the music director at 18th Street Baptist Church, his home church. And while he's there, this little kid, this little snotty-nosed kid, who no doubt bugged him to death when he was a little boy, has grown into the drum major of his high school and a talented musician. So one day, Bill Hornbuckle is going to be out of town, and he asked this little kid to be his conductor in his place for the choir. And Dale was awestruck. Not only that, but Bill insisted on paying him to do this, which meant that Dale now has really starry eyes, because he thinks, I can not only do what I love, I can get paid to do what I love. This is a revelation to him, I'm sure. So he goes off to Kentucky Southern, goes off to Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Meanwhile, Bill Hornbuckle has left seminary, and he has come to a little church in East Alabama, Opelika First Baptist Church, where for 4 years he's the minister of music. Then he moves 12 miles down the road from the minister of music at Opelika First Baptist to the minister of music at First Baptist, Auburn. And he's here for about the same amount of time, and he decides to go to Texas to be minister of music. And John Jeffers goes in Bill's office, and he said, Bill, who would you recommend to take your place? And he said, well, there's a little snotty-nosed kid who's grown up now, and he has graduated from Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and I think he'd be your perfect person. So Dale, with very little in-between time, comes from Kentucky to Auburn First Baptist to become our minister of music. Now, at this point, you know most of the story, or at least you think you know most of the story, and you probably do. In fact, some of you know a lot more of the story at this point than I do, because I didn't arrive at First Baptist until 1977. But let me tell you the professional side of our minister of music, because you know him as a choral conductor, as a composer, but you don't know his professional life. So let me tell you about his professional life. Dale served as the chair of the Music and Worship Committee for the Southern Division of the American Choral Directors Association. This is a big honor. You don't get elected to this unless you're really, really good. He wrote numerous articles published in the Church Musician. You do not get those published without referee and without criticism. He has composed more than 100 anthems published by many different publishers, of which one of them, Sound the Trumpet, which we've heard and which is one of my favorite Dale Peterson's anthems, has sold more than 100,000 copies. Now, if I had sold 100,000 copies of the book, I would not be here. I would be on the French Riviera retired, but But publishing music and selling it's not as lucrative as selling books. For more than 30 years, Dale has been the recipient of the Standard Awards given by the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. Many churches, many colleges, many universities, and many Baptist state conventions throughout the country have commissioned Dale to write anthems in the same way our church commissions other people to write anthems for us. We know our side of the story. We don't know Dale's side of the story. I doubt that we have any composer who's been in this church who has been commissioned to write much more than Dale has. More about that in a minute. And finally, for the past 6 years, Dale has taught all Auburn University major and minor music students their first year in music theory, which, you know, they wouldn't ask you to do that unless you knew what you were doing. Okay, that's the skeleton of a life, but now what I want to do is put some meat on it. And for this purpose, since I know about as much music as I know about what the dark side of the moon's like, I ask four sources just to tell me about Dale. That was when we began the conversation. I said, tell me about Dale. The first of these is Charles MacArthur, and you know him as the dentist from Tallahassee, who was conductor in residence we had here, recognizing his work about 3 or 4 years ago, and he's been back since then. And I'm sure most of you were as dumbfounded by the beauty of his compositions as I was. The second one is Bill Hornbuckle, his lifetime friend, and the reason he came to First Baptist Church. We have Bill to thank for Dale being here. Bill is retired now in Texas after many, many years of choral conducting, but still does conducting for special occasions around the South. Mike Williams, who was on our church staff as a minister to students part-time, he was also a graduate student in history, went on to seminary, received his degree, pastored a church, then began to teach at Dallas Baptist University, where he became dean and where he published a wonderful biography of our former pastor, I.T. Titchener, which I recommend you get out of our church library because it's a terrific story. And finally, Jan Kennemer, whom you may remember as an alumna of the church college choir. But she went on to seminary. She became minister of students at Dawson Memorial Baptist Church, where she continues to serve to this day. Okay, so I'm going to divide the stories that they told me into three parts: conductor, composer, and minister. They're not the same, though you may think they are the same. Here is Mike Williams about Dale as a conductor. Dale had a great influence on me and so many others. He taught us about excellence. He demanded excellence not for its own sake, but for God's sake, because we honor God in the excellence of what we do. He was a perfectionist who always pushed himself harder than he pushed anyone else. He taught me a philosophy of worship to have the highest standards of worship. Here is Jan Kennemer. As a freshman college student from Little Morris, Alabama, I found Dale to be totally intimidating. I came from a small pond where I was a big fish. And I came to a big pond where I was a very small fish. I tried the bell choir. I was terrible. Dale stared at me. I talked with him, and he said he would find a place where I felt more comfortable. And he did. And I was so happy, and I learned so much from him. The three words I would use to describe Dale are encourage, challenge, and excellence. Dale had a standard of excellence. He challenged me to do better than I thought I could possibly do. He told me that God demanded the same thing of me that he demanded. I don't think he was being sacrilegious there. He told me that God demanded the same thing of me that he demanded, to be excellent, to be my very best. As a composer, here's Bill Hornbuckle. Music theory is one of Dale's great strengths, and that is critical in composition. I go to churches all the time to conduct choirs, and when I examine their choral library, I almost always find some of Dale Peterson's anthems. His music grows out of his parish experience, and it is by no means confined to Baptist. It serves any volunteer choir, meeting any Sunday in America, just trying to enrich the worship experience of a congregation. His dad, Charlie, was so proud of Dale that he framed Dale's published music and hung it all over his living room wall. And when you publish more than 100 anthems, they cover a lot of space. Charles MacArthur. I first met Dale about 10 years ago. He and Julia Morgan agreed to read and listen to some of my compositions. They were very supportive and offered wonderful suggestions. Dale and I began to exchange music for the other to criticize. As a minister. Curiously enough, this was the longest conversation I had with each of the four. I said, what about him as a composer? What about him as a conductor? What about him as a minister? And it took twice as long for most of the conversations when I asked about his minister work as it did conductor and composer work. So here are these. MacArthur. He has become a big brother for me. I admire him so much. I no longer think of Dale as a minister of music. I think of him simply as a minister. He takes people to the doctor in Birmingham. He visits them in the hospital. He is the glue that holds your church together. And it has taken a toll on him as a composer. One of his spiritual gifts is encouraging, and he is so careful in critiquing my work, so respectful of my feeling, yet frank in his criticism. He is so nurturing and mentoring, and he also has a wonderful sense of humor. He is just fun to be around. Dale is a musician, but he is so much more than that. He is, in the truest sense, a minister who changes enmity into harmony, not only in the realm of music, but in the Church of Jesus Christ. Jan Kinnamer. Dale and Dr. Jeffers were the first people to see possibilities in me. I was studying, if you can believe it, personnel management at Auburn. But Dale and John forced me to consider whether that is what God wanted me to do with my life. The reason I'm serving on a church staff at Dawson Memorial, ministering to students, is because of Dale and John. Maintaining a sense of calling is hard sometimes, and in my mind, I returned to Auburn First Baptist to remember and reaffirm my calling. Following my seminary work, I took a chaplaincy internship. One night, I was called to the ER to baptize an infant who was dying. Afterwards, I needed desperately to talk with someone, so I called Dale at 2 a.m. and talked to him for an hour about what had happened. Dale would not let me remain in Morris, Alabama. He demanded that I move somewhere else. Well, I still live here in Morris physically, but I've moved spiritually a very long way from Morris, Alabama. Wherever you are in the world, wherever we are, those of us who graduated from his choir still sing Dale's songs, perhaps not literally, but certainly in the deepest meaning of what the words mean to us. I'm not the only one that Auburn First Baptist inspired. There are so many stories. This church gave us so many opportunities to grow and to serve. Finally, Mike Williams. I learned pastoral ministry from John Jeffers and Dale Peterson. I watched them interact with church members who stopped by when we went for coffee and tea at the little restaurant near Toomer's Corner. Dale opened his home to college students like me. I visited with him when he went to the hospital and learned how to minister to people there. He once warned me that ministry is often a hiding place for lazy people. Don't be one of them, Mike, he told me. Demand the highest standards of yourself. Okay. I mean, don't all of you rush at one time. You might smother me to death. Come on, Peggy. Or you can stand there if you can shout loud enough.
Okay. This wasn't really a prepared speech, but in the mid-60s, Dale and I were working on the
Are we all getting old and hard of hearing, Peggy? You just have to humor us a little.
In the mid-60s, I grew up in Louisville, Kentucky also. Did not know Dale or his family. I was in a Baptist church, but a different one. And somewhere in the mid-60s, I was teaching high school business education at Butler High School in Johnson County. And I kind of remember this, and I went to a few of the football games. this tall, skinny drum major. Okay, forward several years to 1978, when Milan and I moved here with three little boys and met John Jeffers and Dale Peterson. And Dale, we had been in choir wherever we'd been, so Dale had recruited us for choir. And in getting to know Dale better, I found, you know, that he was from Louisville, and eventually found out he had gone to Butler High School, and about the years, and he had been a drum major, and it just, you know, I knew immediately, I remembered this tall, skinny drum major in high school at Butler. We've had so many different connections once, you know, I knew that, and Anna Laura Page, Phil Landgrave were some of the composers that you have known here. Anna Laura was our organist in Athens, Georgia. Phil Landgrave, I went to college with at Eastern Kentucky. But there have just been so many connections over the years. And I was here on the staff for about 22 years in the office. And I just have to tell you that everything they say about him as a minister is absolutely true. I watched many instances where he made such a difference in the lives of people as well as in mine. Thank you.
See what I mean about intersections? I mean, there are a lot more of them out there, too. Good. Come on, Bill. Phil. That's what you get for sitting in the back, Phil.
I was going to give this to Dale at the end of the event this evening, but given it's a time for sharing, I thought I'd simply take the occasion to share it now with you. Here I have a picture of Dale. You can see it, don't need to. My father in a robe, quartet of four in the robe in the church that he was the first pastor of at First Baptist, First Baptist Church, Richmond. Not the First Baptist Church. Oh, River Road Church Baptist. In fact, they chose not to put Baptist in the church. So all of that. Anyway, if I could just take a moment. And in fact, did it for this occasion. The date is November 7th, 2013. Dale. While the picture may be lacking in quality, its message is one of heavenly tribute. I remember that occasion on the newly purchased church property for which there was yet a building to appear. It was here that a small group of worshipers were entertained in the midst of the woods by a robed quartet singing, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, sing forth the honor of his name, make his praise glorious." From this cornerstone, Dale, and throughout over 60 years thereafter, Mother and Dad, or Mother and Dad, Brownings, championed church music of the highest art. In keeping with Martin Luther's words, music is the art of the prophets, the only art that can calm the agitations of the soul. It is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents that God has given us. Brownings would readily add a stanza. Music is one of the most magnificent and delightful presents Dale Peterson has given through the years to the congregation of the church of the Auburn First Baptist Church. And then one of the true worshiping highlights of Mother and Dad was to be in the presence of the beautiful music you brought each Sunday. While Dad's early ministry in Richmond was blessed with notes of praise, he and Lamina's 10 years of worship in Auburn were indeed filled with a choral triumph. As they repeatedly told me, the high quality and spiritual uplifting of the church's music was attributable to Dale's immense knowledge, lifetime commitment, and professional excellence. How right they were. And for what purpose? Sebastian Bach captured it when he wrote, I have always kept one end in view, namely to conduct a well-regulated church music to the honor of God. The Brownings would also readily insert the name Dale Peterson. May God bless you for your many years of wonderful service. We for certain know that God blessed our family through your presence. With that said, in the coming years, be a time of comfort and joy for the Petersons. And this is from all of the Brownings.
Right. That was terrific, Phil. One day we were visiting with Lamina when your dad was still alive. And we were talking about the pastors and the terms, the average terms of pastors and so forth during this period. And Lamina said, well, we really don't care how long the terms of the pastors last, so long as Dale remains until we're gone. and they did. Who's next? Kevin, Martha.
I didn't plan anything to say, but I want to speak up for people who don't live here in Auburn, because many of you remember my mother, Billy Ruth Wood, and how sick she was in 89. She was in the hospital 4 months, except for 1 week, 4 months solid. I didn't think she was going to survive. A lot of people didn't. I was in Fort Payne with one off day. It's hard to make this trip in one day. So my youngest brother told me on my birthday that year, I will never forget it. I had gone back home to celebrate my birthday because mother was better. She had come out of ICU. She was on progressive. She was doing better. My uncle had left town on Sunday, so I went back up there. And at 6 o'clock, I got a call from my brother saying, well, Margaret, mother's in SICU and grandmother is in MICU. So I turned right back around and came back down here. And he told me that at that time, this church was at an interim point, no permanent pastor. And I will never forget my brother saying, Margaret, Dale Peterson is always there for mother and for grandmother. And when you live away from here, and especially have enough medical knowledge to be dangerous, or at least understand how dangerous things are, that is such a comfort. So I'm speaking up for the people who live away, because back then I was away, and I did end up moving back later that year. And the other thing I want to mention, I didn't think when I moved back here that I qualified to sing in Dale's choir. Mother had said, as we all know the phrase, Margaret, if you don't use it, you will lose it. Well, when you work in hospitals, which are 24/7, and you work crazy hours, and I was taught to participate at least 50%. You can't do that. So I didn't sing for most of those 25 years, much at all. And so you lose your stamina. And I remember, I saw it the other day, Dale, a letter Dale sent me, a handwritten letter that meant so much to me, inviting me to sing. It was an a cappella concert. There was a break. I had gone to Brazil, I think the first time, and invited me to sing. And I took that letter with me to Brazil because Tim and I had been attending together, and that was so very important to me. And I enjoyed immensely listening to the choir. It's a real catch-22. Do you want to sing in it, or do you want to listen to it? Because it really is beautiful that I thoroughly enjoy singing in our choir. And if I had to give up, if I could only pick one group that I sing in, I sing in three. If I could only pick one, that would be the one. So thank you, Dale, for all you've meant to my family and all the other family members who live further away from here. It has meant a lot, more than you can know.
Great. We're now to that bewitching hour where normally Dale would have nasty things to say to the choir about somebody who kept us here late. But on the other hand, this is the very moment for the choir to defy Dale. And so if you would like to come up, I can guarantee you choir practice is not going to start until we finish tonight. So if any of you would like to, okay, Walter, come on up.
Many of you know that Oxford and I were campus minister and associate when Dale came. And John Appleton took Oxford away from us pretty soon after that. But one of the things that some of you new folks don't know is some of Dale's extracurricular activities at the BSU. We did three of the best musicals in this town and in the South while Dale was there, and he did it as a volunteer. We did Two by Two, which was the story of Noah and the flood and all those activities. Then we did Fiddler on the Roof, which is no easy job. And then we did Man of La Mancha. And Dale directed all of those things. And then the thing that probably was the long-term activity that he volunteered to do was to direct the BSU Ensemble, which was the Expressions. And Wally, are you the only alumni here tonight from that? You probably know more stories about that than I, but Dale just volunteered to do it. And those of you, how many of you saw one of these plays while we were there? They were really well done. And, I personally appreciate Dale's extracurricular activities.
Others? Well, I know the... yes, please do, Lois.
So I love music. I'm not a musician, so I have not. I sing a lot, but not in choirs. But I know Dale best because I served on the flower committee for many years. I know him best because he's been so much a part of our church since we came here in '65. But serving on the flower committee with Mary Jim Coleman, and then after Mary Jim passed away, I learned that there is nobody that you can depend on like you can depend on Dale Peterson. Whether it's putting up a Christmas tree, dragging down boxes and boxes of garland and wreath, Dale is always there. And Dale, we thank you for all that you did that has nothing in the world to do with music, but our church in, as a whole, as well as what you've done for us musically.
What else? I do, Bob. Come on. I have time for any number of additional ones.
Dale, do you have time for one more?
He does.
As most of you probably know, Dale does not conduct an audition choir. For 43 years, he allowed me to be in that choir. I've never had a music lesson on his choir. I've never been to music training. I was and am musically ignorant. And to illustrate this a little more graphically, in late retirement, my parents moved to Auburn, lived near Gene and me, and then came to church in Auburn, First Baptist. And that first Sunday morning, they sat with Gene and Mavis way back in the back field. And when the choir came in, Gene pointed out to my daddy, sitting next to him, "You see Robert up there in that choir?" My daddy says, "Miracles never cease."
Anyone else? Oh, sure.
I've been here since before Dale came, and so we've had some really good trips. And as you might know, I have two children who grew up under Dale Peterson. One is Kid Blue, who's a local musician, and Tim Chambliss, and the other one is Leanne Armstrong. And he's been a mentor to both of them. Meant a lot.
Thank you. Anyone else? Well, let me end on this note. I've had the honor of serving on two pulpit committees during my 30-plus years here in this church, one for Glenn Turner and the other for Jim Evans. And on both of those, we did surveys of the congregation, and we asked them, what do you think our strong points are, and what do you think our weaknesses are? What do we need to improve? What are we really good at? And it was really interesting that the number one compliment that this congregation paid, and I think it's an example of self-sorting, that is, we're here because we value this, was the high quality of worship in this church. And there were more than a few people who told me privately that it didn't make all that much difference who the preacher was as long as he was a good pastor. Because when you came here to worship, the music was so good that whether the sermon was great or not, you came away thinking the presence of God had been here with you. And in the November episode of the church history that I'm writing, which I presume they'll see pretty soon, Dale, probably go out. It's in the office, so it goes out toward the end of November. And you'll get pretty much what I've said tonight in that. But I ended like this. Dale Peterson's shadow is taller than he is, and his legacy will last like that of so many who came to this place before him, as long as this congregation endures. Thank you, Dale.